Hey everyone, welcome back to the Origin Podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. Today we're diving into some really fascinating research about a rare type of brain tumor.
Yeah, so we're talking about solitary fibrous tumors of the central nervous system, or CNS-SFTs for short. These are super rare, aggressive tumors that, honestly, they're kind of a nightmare to treat.
Right, and what makes them even trickier is they often get misdiagnosed as meningiomas because they look really similar on imaging.
But here's the kicker. They're way more aggressive.
Exactly. So get this. Even after complete surgical removal, these tumors have a recurrence rate of like 57%, compared to only 5% for meningiomas. That's a huge difference.
Wow. That's really significant. And they can also spread to other parts of the body, right? Like the liver, lungs.
Yeah, exactly. So this new study, it's actually pretty groundbreaking. The researchers looked at 189 cases using multiple types of analysis, whole genome sequencing, RNA sequencing, single cell sequencing, the works.
That's a massive undertaking. So what did they find? I mean, with all that data, they must have uncovered some interesting patterns.
Oh, definitely. So first off, they confirm that most of these tumors have this NAB2 STAT6 gene fusion. That's like the hallmark of SFTs. But, and this is really interesting, they also found a lot of mutations in receptor tyrosine kinases.
Receptor tyrosine kinases. Those are involved in cell signaling and growth, right?
Exactly. And what's cool is, these mutations were more common in higher grade tumors. The researchers also found that the protein markers of these pathways, like phosphorylated ERK and AKT, were elevated in more aggressive tumors.
So there's like a clear link between these mutations and how aggressive the tumor is. That's actually really useful for understanding the disease.
Right. And then they did this really comprehensive transcriptomic analysis and found four distinct molecular subtypes of these tumors. They called them classical, neural-like, inflamed, and migratory.
Okay, so what makes each of these subtypes different? Like, do they behave differently?
Yeah, they do. So the neural-like subtype was mostly found in lower-grade tumors. These were smaller and had lower proliferation rates. The classical subtype was the most common and had the highest rate of cystic necrosis.
And what about the inflamed and migratory subtypes?
So the inflamed subtype showed activation of inflammatory pathways and had lots of T-cell infiltration. The migratory subtype was enriched in pathways related to cell movement and cytoskeletal remodeling, basically the machinery that helps cells move around.
That migratory one sounds particularly concerning. Like, that's probably related to metastasis, right?
Exactly. And here's where it gets even more interesting. They used single-cell sequencing to identify five different cell states within these tumors. And they found this classable state that seems to be like a precursor to the other states.
Oh, so like a stem cell kind of situation? Where one type of cell can give rise to the others?
Yeah, kind of. And what's really cool is they use spatial transcriptomics to actually map where these different cell states are located in the tumor. They found that the different states were associated with different microenvironments.
So like, the environment around the cells is influencing what state they're in?
Exactly. For example, the inflamed state cells were concentrated in areas with vascular leakage or inflammatory cell infiltration. The migratory and angiogenic states were found in hypoxic regions, areas with low oxygen.
That makes sense. Low oxygen would be a stressful environment, so the cells adapt. But, okay, this is all really fascinating from a biology standpoint, but what about treatment? Did they find anything that could help patients?
Yes, this is actually the most exciting part. They screened over 4,000 compounds on primary tumor cells, which, by the way, was a huge achievement, since these cells are really hard to culture.
4,000 compounds? That's incredible. So what did they find?
They found that these tumor cells were particularly sensitive to tyrosine kinase inhibitors. And when they dug deeper, they identified FER kinase as a key therapeutic target.
FER kinase. Okay, so what happens when you inhibit it?
So when they either use drugs to inhibit fur or knock down its expression, they saw significant reductions in tumor cell proliferation, migration, and invasion. Basically, all the bad behaviors of these cancer cells.
That's really promising. So this could potentially lead to new targeted therapies for these patients.
Exactly. And what's particularly interesting is that fur kinase regulates multiple important signaling pathways, ERK, AKT, and FAK, which are all involved in tumor growth and spread.
So by targeting this one protein, you're potentially affecting multiple cancer-promoting pathways. That's actually pretty elegant.
Right. And you know what I think is really important about this study is that it's not just identifying one aspect of these tumors. It's giving us this comprehensive picture, the genetics, the different subtypes, the microenvironment, and potential treatments all in one.
Yeah, and for such a rare tumor type, having this level of detail is really valuable. I mean, 189 cases might not sound like a lot, but for a rare disease, that's actually a pretty substantial cohort.
Absolutely. And I think what gives me hope is that they've identified these molecular subtypes that could potentially guide treatment decisions. Like maybe patients with the inflamed subtype could benefit from immunotherapy since they have more T-cell infiltration.
That's a great point. Personalized medicine, right? Tailoring the treatment to the specific characteristics of each patient's tumor.
Exactly. And you know, one thing I found really interesting is how they showed that the tumor microenvironment, like hypoxia and inflammation, can influence which cell state the tumor cells adopt. It's like the tumor is constantly adapting to its environment.
That's kind of scary when you think about it, but it also gives us more targets for intervention, right? If we understand how the environment is influencing the tumor, we can potentially disrupt that.
Right, and I think that's ultimately what makes this research so valuable. It's not just describing the problem, it's pointing toward solutions. The FER kinase inhibitors they tested showed really promising results in the lab.
So what's next? I mean, these are lab results. There's still a ways to go before this becomes a treatment option for patients, right?
Yeah, definitely. The next steps would be preclinical studies in animal models, and then eventually clinical trials. But the fact that some of these fur inhibitors are already in development for other cancers could potentially speed things up.
That's good news. And in the meantime, this research is already helping us understand these tumors better, which is valuable in itself.
Absolutely. And I think it's worth mentioning that this kind of comprehensive multi-omics approach is becoming more common in cancer research. It's really changing how we understand and classify tumors.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what we can learn when we look at tumors from all these different angles. Genetics, gene expression, spatial organization, cell-to-cell interactions. It's like putting together a really complex puzzle.
That's a great analogy. And each piece of the puzzle helps us see the bigger picture. All right, so to wrap up, this study gives us new insights into CNS solitary fibrous tumors, identifies molecular subtypes that could guide treatment, and points to FER kinase as a promising therapeutic target.
And hopefully this research will lead to better outcomes for patients dealing with these challenging tumors. Thanks for breaking this down with me, Jamie.
Thanks, Alex. And thanks to all of you for listening to the Origene podcast. If you found this interesting, make sure to subscribe and we'll catch you next time.